Welcome back to Radio
Podcast. Corporal, take off the Xbox 360 headset. I know it's wirelessly new, but it just doesn't work that well.
It's the XBL Radio Podcast.
Mr. Corporal, sitting to the right of me here.
I am Rusty Ranchero.
My compadre, the other guy.
Hello, everybody. This is Steve519.
Your game, Play Ball.
Come get some.
Your voice.
Hey, this is Pidgett from XPLife.com.
Rodder XP.
How's it going, Rusty?
Thank you, Leo.
Oh, my pleasure.
Mr. Major Nelson.
Thank you for having me.
Microsoft's Trixie.
You know, we're gamers and we like the community.
Your radio.
As you know, there's been a fiasco with the launch.
I go out and I buy Grawl.
And it's fun. One guy, he's announcing, reading all the news stories.
Hey, you run around shooting people?
No. Stop wasting all your free time playing those mind-numbing video games.
Now, fire up that console and let's sign in.
Well, I've changed out equipment and I'm back in full form. Hi, I'm Mr. Carpal Tunnel. Welcome back to the XBL Radio Podcast, version 33. And sitting to the left of me is the other guy.
And if you're standing behind me, it's actually to your right. So, yeah, it's a good thing you did change out that little headset earbud piece because, you know what, the only thing that really works well on is paperweight.
Uh-huh. It seems that way, man. A lot of problems with the Xbox 360 headset, but not with my 360 anymore. Just got it back in the mail the other day, and it took me 2 weeks, so right up into the next show. Now, I did get a chance to play a couple games, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the show, but I'm happy to be back in full form with that, you know, Xbox 360 back in my home.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you got your Xbox 360 back, too, because, you know, as you know, this past weekend, me and my wife went out of town. We made a little trip to Philly. Come back home, what do I notice? My house has been broken into. But weirdly, the only thing that was missing was the Xbox. Not the hard drive, not any of the wires, not the camera, just the console.
So you knew who the culprit must be.
Yeah, I had to call the police, and they said it looks like Mr. Carpenter was over at your house.
That was good stuff, man. I appreciate you letting me borrow it, man. I mean, I would never gotten to experience the glory of Gettysburg, but we'll get into that later. Anyways, so you said you went to the casino. So now, did you get to try an unvirtual Texas Hold'em game?
Well, you know, I signed up for the Texas Hold'em, but the wait was like a day and a half. I mean, it was
they had a big waiting list?
Yeah,
kind of like how it used to be before the patch.
Yeah, exactly the same way, but you know, so I did play some blackjack, some, they even had dice.
Did they have any poker in the rear?
Liquor in the front.
Now, did you play any slots?
No, I didn't. I pretty much stayed towards the poker, I mean the blackjack.
Now, you said there were even modders at the real casino. You said a guy was, tell me about that. What happened there?
Bro, there's a dude sitting to the right of me, and he was pretty hammered. He's, you know, 21, 22, and ballsy.
Right.
So we're playing
blackjack. Of course, it's free and, drinks.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Yeah. We're playing blackjack, and he hits. And
he hit blackjack.
Yeah, as the dealer looked away to gather all the other cards and to reshuffle.
Right.
He snuck another chip on top of his stack. Like, and then he looks at me in that drunk voice, man, you didn't see what I did. And he went, look. And I said, yeah, so did every camera up here.
I guess he didn't see Ocean's 11 or 12, did he?
Yeah, I guess not.
That's hilarious, man. So
he got away with it.
Were you nervous sitting next to him like they were going to bust
him? I didn't care. I didn't know the guy. Like, I let him take him. I wish I would. If he ran, I'd have tagged him.
Like Guido was going to come down and say, we need to talk. No, they don't have Guido there. Who do they have?
Running Deer is going to come down and take him out.
Dances with, like, what?
Dances with dice.
Yeah, because it's an Indian Run casino. Is that correct? Now, when you go to an Indian Run casino, now, these are not Indians with the red dot people that own 7-Elevens. These are
the ones we pillaged and took their land from them.
And we gave them casinos.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Nice trade-up. But when you go there, do you have to sit on the floor and, like, cross your legs? I mean, how do you play it?
You know, I'm pretty sure all of them are like this outside of Vegas, but every Indian Run casino that I've ever went to basically was run by Mr. Whitey himself, but they just give the Indians money to let them put it on their land.
Well, so basically they're just getting a kickback and all these other, yeah. So I can see that. But anyways, was it fun? Was it a nice experience for you and your wife to get away for a day?
Yeah, it was nice. We just, like you said, we was just going for a day, but it was nice.
Right,
it was nice just to get a break.
Oh, it was, yeah. Me, perfect timing, because like you said, I borrowed your Xbox. Now, I really didn't play that much. I got some sound files from it, played a couple games, but nothing really came out. It was really, I went out of town myself. You know, I went to the mountains. So we went and saw a movie called The Polar Express, which came out a couple years ago, I think, with Tom Hanks. But we saw it in IMAX 3D, so it was really neat. Good experience. I even got choked up again watching it. Well-made really? Movie.
Never seen it once.
It's almost freaky because they use this new type animation where it's almost like watching real people, you know, with CGI over them. So it really makes a cool mesh, and it's actually really neat.
Yeah, when we were in the hotel room, they had that erotic channel. I tried to get my wife to watch it with me, but she really wouldn't go for that ride.
Now, that would be a good IMAX 3D. Yeah. You know, whoa! So, far out, yeah. So you know, I've been to one of those hotels before, and they have like I don't know if they have them anymore, but they had like what's called a preview. So every now and then, I'd go like 15 seconds, and by the time you really got it worked up, you had to flip it or else you'd be charged. So you had to start all over again. I mean, it prolongs the experience, no, but...
all you really do is you just get really close to the screen, you watch that 15 second, it burns it into your retina, then you just close your eyes and go for it.
Have to do something, man, you know. But yeah, that's good stuff, man. You know, when I first got married, we had a one bedroom apartment, and it had a Murphy bed that came out of the wall. For those of you who don't know what a Murphy bed is, it's like where the bed hides during the day into like makeshift dresser drawer, but it's really not, right?
It's more, it's instead of a one bedroom apartment, it's actually a flat, like a studio.
Yeah, a studio. So we had one of these. I mean, it was rather expensive, but it was all furnished. But the bed, sat right next to this large TV, and that's the only furniture we really owned was this big TV. And I remember my wife was in bed one night, and we had one of those Spice channels or whatever, and I was going to it, and I was watching it as she was asleep. I mean, she was like 1 inch away from me. She wakes up, and I can tell she's waking up, so I immediately flip it down, and when it goes down one channel, it's like on the Home Shopping Network of all channels to put next
TV.
To the, yeah, and so she was really hip to it right away. I mean, the second she woke up,
Did you try to lie your way out of it?
Yeah, I said, you know, there's some cool stuff coming on. I've always needed one of these new, you know, Foreman grills. And she flips it up and goes, uh-huh. You know?
I got busted one time looking at the adult entertainment on the computer one time. My wife walks in and the best thing I could come up to, and this is exactly how it sounded. I clicked on a pop-up ad, and this is what came. I couldn't get off. She looked straight at me. She goes, "Yeah, right."
You sounded exactly like you were using the Xbox communicator to lie your way out of a situation.
She goes, "Yeah, right." She said, "Have you ever looked in the mirror when you're doing that?"
Amazing. Well, anyways, we got a great show lined up for you. We're going to kick it right off into some tech news. Got a killer interview from the Viva Pinata Rare people. Plus, we got a kids pick over Viva Pinata. Plus, we got our Gettysburg pick and a myriad of more stuff. So stick around because we're coming right back with some tech news.
You've got news online.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave?
And our first story in tech news this week at XBL. Now, this is something that hits close to home because, as you know, here at XBL Radio, we take all the news from a variety of different sources and act like they're our own. And one of those sources we use is CNET. And one of the people who works over CNET, a very prominent figure over there, James Kim, died this past week. 35-year-old Kim had been missing in a remote southwestern Oregon wilderness for about 11 days and was found at approximately noon last Wednesday, about a half a mile from Rogue River, authorities said. Now, remembering James, CNET went on to say, "In my eyes, as a father and as the eyes of his family, he is a true hero. He took the difficult but the same time an easy decision to risk his life to save the lives of those he loved the most." And what they're talking about there is he actually went out for help and his family was left behind. He didn't make it, of course, and he did a lot for CNET as far as gadgets and tech. I saw him talking about it on Fox News about some of the contributions he's made over the years, even all the way up to current things such as the iPod and the Xbox 360.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame. His family did survive. And I was hearing something that was interesting in the story. They said the way they survived, and I'm not kidding here, it was like, I guess they had an infant child.
Right.
So one of the things was via breast milk.
Right.
She was feeding the kids and still was able to feed the infant and stuff breast milk.
That's amazing. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that she actually used that too. I mean, it's a sad situation to see something like this transpire, especially that when it gets close to home. I know right now they're even having the same issue. I don't think at this time they found the people up in the other mountains that went up there hiking. And the thing I have to say is, and I'm not trying to be crass at all in this, I know with Kim it was a different situation. He actually got stranded out there while on a road trip. But some of these other people who do it for adventurous reasons, the elements, it's not like you can take them lightly sometimes. You really have to be prepared.
Yeah.
And
You got to know what you're doing. If you don't, you just need to watch Discovery Channel for the guy that goes and gets stuck in the woods.
Man versus Wild or something like that.
That's pretty good. That's what it's called, Man versus Wild.
Anyways, Kim, our thoughts go out to you and your family. I'm sorry it happened. And now on to some more tech news. Well, as you noticed with the beginning of our show, there has been issues with the 360 headset. And now Microsoft has actually acknowledged that those issues aren't just posts on the XBLRadio.com's forum. Microsoft took another step towards high tech when it released the Xbox 360 wireless headset in early November. Now, the new headset not only eliminated wires, but also promised to improve sound quality and less latency over the wired headset. Unfortunately, the headset has had its fair share of problems, including cutting out during frag fests and issues with interference. Now, Microsoft is aware of these problems and is currently looking towards a solution. Now, on GamerScoreBlog.com, the website run by Microsoft Global Games marketing team, one member posted the following alert from the Xbox accessories team. He said, "We have received feedback, not just from the headset, from some customers that have experienced issues while using the Xbox 360 wireless headset, including difficulty syncing the headset to the controller, reception interference, and audio sensitivity while playing action-packed games like Gears of War." Now, they said, "We are committed to providing the best, highest quality accessories for the 360 and would like to assist in troubleshooting and resolving those issues, whether by being replaced or repairing the units for warranty." Now, if you're having a problem with them, be sure and call 1-800-4-MY-XBOX.com. Supposedly, even Major Nelson said they're reissuing replacement headsets if you are one of these people that's having problems.
Unfortunately, you know, it's happened. It's kind of like, I guess, when they first put out the 360, they were locking up and bricking for everybody.
It seems like their whole headset team needs to just go ahead and reform it.
Well,
somehow.
My wired headset, I'm still using the original one. I did not buy the wireless headset because I was just like, you know what? I've got a wireless router. I got wireless phones.
Right.
I got cell phones.
Right.
I got wireless remote controls for the garage door. You know, every type of wireless device out there that you could have. So I was like, this is probably going to be kind of shady. I think they're going to have the same. They may even have the same problem with the steering wheel. I don't know. We'll find out. But, you know, I got a question because I think that from what I understand, the main problem were all these wireless 2-gig phones.
You know, they're saying it could be a potential for different things syncing up. Even Rusty Ranchero over at Xbox, you know, Live.5, he was over there and he did a whole post on this. And, of course, Kotaku took the story and ran with it. But he had a story where he was discussing the connectivity problem, as we were talking about earlier, and saying it just wouldn't sync up. And he had tried a myriad of different ways. So I don't think that that's indicative of the phones. Phones usually cause a problem during the transmission.
Right.
And I think his was during even connectivity. So, you know, it's a problem that they'll have to work with. Of course, you know, you have to admit they have, you know, always held themselves as being innovators. And I've heard a lot of people talk about how great this was and saying that they wanted the camera to also be wireless. We can only be thankful it wasn't. Well, one thing that should definitely may want to consider being wired, at least to your body, is the Nintendo controller. I mean, so the Nintendo's secretly upgrades its Wiimote straps. Have you heard about this? Announced that the company would be investigating the Wiimote strap issue, likely due to rabid internet discussion and mainstream media attention, Go Nintendo discovers they've already started issuing a solution in the form of thicker, better replacement straps. Chances are Nintendo will start incorporating these new straps into future shipments of the Wiimote.
This had to happen. You knew it was going to happen because, I mean, right off the bat when these were launched, people were having problems losing these controllers, and we even watched a video of a gentleman that was playing tennis and he went to go hit the ball and he smacked the remote up against the wall.
Yeah, we discussed that on the last podcast.
Yeah, we discussed it, and the pictures of people taking out plasma and windows of that nature. I don't know. I guess you might either need to get the Michael Jackson glove or go with the strap.
You said that joke on the last one.
Did I?
Yeah,
boy,
exactly.
Stayed with me, didn't I?
Well, speaking about things that Nintendo's got going for them, the Wii Opera software has been dated for December 23rd. Nintendo Sweden website announced that the Opera web browser channel for the Wii will be available soon for download on the Wii Shop channel. The channel will be free of charge, money, or Wii points until June 2007. Now, they are not sure if this is valid only for Europe. Now, it could have been made for Sweden only. Let's hope the forecast channel is going to pop out on December 20th and the news channel comes out on the 27th. So it sounds like the Wii is starting to kick in all these different channels for, you know, online capability rather soon.
Which is great, and I can't wait till this Opera comes out. I'm not even against the way they're doing it. They're offering it for free for a certain amount of time, and then they're going to charge. I'm fine with that if you don't get within that amount of time, pay for it. Who cares? I think it's great. I think Microsoft needs something like this. Sony has something like this. If you're sitting there playing a game, which my Xbox is in a different room than my computer, and I need to figure out, hey, where's this portal I need to get through? Boom. I go to my browser, go to GameSpot.com, go to forums, and find out right away.
If at very least, I think some of the things are really cool that I saw on the Wii site where they were promoting, local weather updates, tickers across the bottom, things like that, which are really innovative. And I know a lot of people say, well, I really don't need it. Well, if they had it, you'd want it. I mean, I know I would use it.
But you can say almost in theory that Microsoft does have something like that on the Xbox 360. Because when you're playing NCAA football 07 and you choose real-time weather, wherever you're playing, it simulates the real-time weather that is in that situation.
So it can be done. Well, a lot of you people out there who have the Wii and want a USB Ethernet adapter, well, and can't find one in stores, there has been a USB Ethernet adapter discovered that's non-Nintendo related. Now, Nintendo may have shipped a substantial amount of consoles for the Wii launch, but they sure botched the accessories. Most of us still can't find component cables, and Nintendo won't even ship an Ethernet adapter until earlier next year, which means non-Wi-Fi users are screwed for a virtual console. Problem solved, though. A Wiivolution points to somebody who found USB Ethernet adapter that's compatible with the Wii. It's called the Kinamax, K-I-N-A-M-A-X, USB 2.0 to RJ45 Fast Ethernet 10-100 Base T Network Adapter. And it only costs about $19.99 at newegg.com. That's N-E-W-E-G-G.com, which means wired folks can finally join in on all the wireless fun.
And, you know, that's something that I think will actually hurt Wii on that aspect, because if they're going to wait a year to put this out, the people that want this product are going to go ahead and buy it now because they need it now. They don't need it a year from now, so they'll go ahead and buy it, or they'll find the configuration and make their own.
Well, I got to tell you, the wireless seems to be the way to go, but to me, I'm still a little bit skeptical of being wireless, and almost all my systems are RJ45. My Xbox is yours?
Mine is too. I mean, I can go wireless, but why do I want to pay an extra $100 for a receiver to put on the back of my Xbox?
Seems like a cable is a lot cheaper and more secure. Okay, well, we were talking about the sales of Zune a couple shows back. You were talking about the new iPod on the block. Well, CNBC has a poll that predicts sales of 17 million plus iPods will be sold this holiday season. According to the second edition of CNBC's Holiday Central survey, some 8% of those polled said that they expect to buy one of Apple Computer's iPod digital music players this holiday season. Based on the network's explorations, the Cupertino, California-based company will likely see sales of around 17 million units. Now, assuming an average selling price of $159 per iPod, Apple stands to reap $2.7 billion in revenue from the sales of the player alone. Now, CNBC also reported on its Monday edition of Power Lunch. The same survey found that only 3% of those polled plan to buy Nintendo Wii or PlayStation 3, while just 2% have their sights set on the Microsoft 360. The findings suggest that for a second straight year, the iPod will be the top-selling must-have holiday gadget. CNBC's prediction of 17 million iPods falls smack in the middle of various Wall Street analyst estimates, which range from 14 million to 20 million units.
I see their spike in their sales. And what's interesting is everybody was worried about the Zoom taking and killing the iPod, the whole versus one to the other. iPod hasn't come out with a new iPod in a while now, and there are still gangbusters, and they're due for a new iPod to come out. Matter of fact,
the Wi-Fi and with FM capability. Yeah,
a couple of months ago, we brought a story to you talking about where where iPod and Nike were mixing up together and joined together. And
I remember that.
Like, it was a mileage count on your shoe, the Nike Plus. Mm-hmm. The commercials are now out. So, I mean, that was a story that you'll see, a Nike commercial, but it's really pushing the iPod. So iPods in every aspect. iPods even in the aspect of allowing you to do stuff on planes now. And don't we have a story about that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the thing is, iPod it's a niche and it's everywhere. You make something great, kind of like the Sony Walkman. You remember back in the day, if you carried a music portable player, if it wasn't a Sony Walkman, you were a second-class citizen.
And I'm trying to remember the track record, the history on this. It went from Walkman to CD Walkman, to MP3 Walkman, to MP3 player, then iPod. I don't remember. I remember me having an MP3 player out there, but I don't remember it being such a huge success that everybody had one, because it was so cumbersome to do the things you want to do with it, where you could just burn it to a disc. I don't know. That's interesting.
It is interesting. I don't know the entire chronological order of how it went, but I do know that the iPod is a dominant force, and it will take much more than emulating it to make it successful if you're going to build your own.
That I will agree. I'll agree with you on that.
Well, speaking about upgrading software, here at the XBO Radio Podcast, a lot of times when we interview people, including Kids Picks, which you'll hear in a little while, and another interview, we use Skype, and Skype's a great little product. Well, now Skype 3.0 has come out. All this, of course, is free. I mean, you can go download Skype, just set up a user account. Some of the features that you'll get with 3.0 is calling anyone else using Skype anywhere in the world is absolutely free, which is actually pretty cool. Saves a lot in your long-distance bill. Also, you can see who you're talking with video calls. They have a chat with one person or have a group of up to 100 people at the same time on the new Skype. You also can send files and photos to each other easily. May take a little while to do that. And search the web using the Google toolbar, which is pre-installed within Skype now. I mean, what do you think about this new product?
Well, you know, Skype is just trying to advance their product and move that much closer and closer into the future. They're really battling out with all your Mob Bells and people of that nature. That's who they're really going against.
I think one thing that really helped them out was doing that, Skype to landline for a while for free, which was amazing and stuff. I mean, how you could do that? I mean, you call someone in California from your PC, and it was like, you know, talking on the phone.
Yeah, matter of fact, there's one episode we did where we did a round table, and it was all of us, me, you, Rusty, and Steve, and I was on the cell phone, y'all were all on Skype.
That was the year anniversary. So it's really neat. Now, have 100 people. That
could be a little hectic.
Now, I was thinking we could have like a, you know how like they had Woodstock? We could have, I guess, Rustock or something.
Podstock.
Yeah, Podstock or something like that, and invite everybody, you know, and just, you know, have a blast on Skype. That'd be fun to see how many people you could actually jam into a Skype conversation.
That would be very crazy.
Okay, and one other story here at XBL Radio. Now, this has been a hot topic, especially since Microsoft has currently released their marketplace video and TV downloads, which is kind of cool. But, you know, consumers may prefer movie rentals to downloads by a huge margin. Now, watching short clips in the range on the web, but when it comes to full-length movies, many consumers would rather stick with cable and TV satellite offerings and video rental stores, market research firm said. Only 5% of people who watch video on the internet have rented or bought a digital movie download, ABI Research said Monday. Even when including films taken for free peer-to-peer sites, that's illegal sites as well as legal, movie downloads remain the least watched genre of online video. Now, short-form content, on the other hand, is watched by nearly 7 in 10 people who watch online video. Now, older users in particular watch primarily news and sports, while younger users are watching more entertainment content, including viral media provided by such sites as YouTube. Now, ABI Research Director Michael Wolff said on a statement the other day, the biggest reason for not downloading movies was satisfaction with the existing cable and TV services, as well as DVD rentals and purchases. Now, nearly half of online consumers interviewed by the ABI said that they would never purchase a movie online for download because they were happy with the status quo. Now, the biggest hurdle for downloaded services is the fact that the current movie providers continue to provide a vastly superior and often less expensive product. Now, the industry needs to develop reasons and business models that increase overall consumer interest in internet-developed video, including allowing for easier transfer and better viewing on the large screen, Wolf said. ABI based the report on a web-based October survey of 1,725 U.S. online adults.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of agree with this. I think the way I look at it is most of the folks out there do not have their computer networked on into their television system and stuff of that nature. So if you're downloading movies, you're not really being able to watch them on your TV, and no one really wants to watch in front of a computer the World Trade Center. I mean, who wants to sit in front of a computer for 2.5 hours to watch World Trade Center and computer desk?
Exactly. And, you know, it's that, and we've discussed this many times, even on Apple, and with Xbox Marketplace now with videos. You get a lot of special features if you rent them, and there's more of a variety. I think it's fun going to the video store.
You know, that I was about to say that, too. I think going to the video store, people still want to get out of the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's more of like something to do. You get out of the house, you go to the video store, you get to do a little bit of people watching, you get to read the back of the boxes, actually hold it in your hand and look around.
Right.
It's not like a, oh,
pick
God,
you up
I
that,
go
like,
to,
you know, 2-pound big-ass Snickers bar on the way out.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, gosh, I got to the movie store now. It's only like that when you have to return it.
Exactly. Because I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, download movies from Xbox Live. I know I'm taking the story over to there, but that's what we're interested in. They're saying it's convenience, you know. It's not that far out of my way to get out of the house for 10 minutes.
No, and I could understand in some rural areas it may be a convenience.
Yeah, it could. That's
where
very
we
true.
Live, there's, you know, a Blockbuster every mile and a half.
But also in those rural areas, you got to understand, those people aren't hooked up to fast access DSL, you know. They're doing 56K. Could you imagine downloading Nacho Libre at 56K? I mean, you wouldn't even get the cheese, let alone the nacho.
Look. Go away. Read some books.
And there is one last story here on Tech News. This is dedicated to the Wii, which launched a couple weeks ago. The Wii has actually broken Aussie sales records. Australia, I mean, you know, I'm taking the Wii by storm. As the Wii list of impressive global launch numbers continues to trickle in, figures just in from the Australian launch are equally impressive. According to data trackers at GFK Australia, Nintendo's new console has become the fastest-selling piece of game hardware in the nation's history.
You know, and you know what's interesting is I know Microsoft did a lot of marketing in Australia last year trying to push their product, and they're actually going huge right now as well as sales in the Australian market. But the Wii is fun, integrated, and the strap breaks easy. Why not?
They have. I agree with you. I mean, Microsoft really, I mean, they've been with the global launch, they really pushed. What I heard, and this is just from, you know, speculation and blogs I've read and stuff, Steve Irwin talked bad about the Xbox 360, and you saw where that went. They're hardcore, bro. And then, like, a couple weeks later, he turns up, you know, with a Jagger in his heart. You be the judge. And in console crimes, 180 PS3s have been stolen in Japan. Now, last week in Japan, a group of organized thieves managed to steal 180 PlayStation 3s from a luggage warehouse in a place I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Now, the machines, which come in boxes of two, are stacked in pallets of 30 boxes each and are worth about 9.5 million yen in total. The boxes were noticed missing at 1:30 p.m. after having been confirmed at 9 a.m. the same day. Now, local police are guessing, with the frequency of luggage movement at the warehouse, it's likely the machines were stealthily loaded into the thieves' truck. How anyone managed to steal such a large numbers of PS3 in broad daylight is kind of puzzling, but the weird thing is, there was one 360 and nobody touched it.
You know what? They're saying it was funny. They're calling them organized thieves. These are a bunch of 16-year-olds going, hey, bro, or however they say it over right there. Hey, man, you watch out. I'm going to grab these boxes.
But, hey, at least they're in demand.
Yeah, they're in demand. Didn't they steal Xbox 360s last year? Has the Wii been stolen? Has anybody touched the Wii?
And another story here at Console Crimes, GameStop sells porn-packed used memory sticks to younger consumers. Dallas NBC's News Channel 5 with Chip Chipperson, I don't know if that's his name, I was just saying. That sounds like it'd be a cool, okay, anyway. News has the story of Fort Worth's mother who bought a refurbished PlayStation portable media stick from GameSpot only to find it filled, packed with pornographic videos and photos. Meanwhile, in a related story, Rusty Ranchero has lost his gamer stick.
This is in Fort Worth.
Yeah, it is in Texas. So, yeah. So what do you think about this? I mean, I guess that could happen. You know, I remember one time.
Well, I hope whoever sold the stick copied it to their hard drive before they sold it. They just had all
that
porn.
Add some porn. No, you know, I've often thought about that because when you buy, like, reused hard drives or whatever, you know, there's always that potential. You know,
you know what? That makes me want to sell one now. With a big old brown eye on the middle, just winking.
You know, actually, I'm going to reject this story. I'm sorry. I'm not putting any ideas into your guys' head.
Well, do you remember the time where we went? We were in San Francisco?
No, I don't. This isn't going where I think it's going. This story and porn are not meshing at all. And our first story in game news this week, Rocky takes a swing at the PSP. Just when the moviegoers thought they'd seen the last of Rocky Balboa, the plucky punching bag from Philadelphia, Sylvester Stallone, and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer announced that the 60-year-old Sly would return for another round. Rocky Balboa, likely the boxing franchise's final movie, is due out in theaters later this year. Film isn't the only medium Rocky is taking another jab at. Ubisoft today confirmed that the PSP game Rocky Balboa will be released in conjunction with the movie.
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Come on, man, spit it out.
I've got to go see this. I know it's going to be a train wreck of a movie, but I've got to go see it. Is it going to have his son in this one like it did Rocky V? And is it bad that I know his son was in Rocky V?
I don't know. Yeah, yes. No, Rocky, the franchise was actually pretty decent. I think, is he going to be the boxer or is he going to be training someone?
No, bro, he's in the ring.
So he's the one,
he's like the George Foreman of movie boxing.
Really? Yeah. That's amazing. So he's going to make a comeback, and here he is in a game. Now, you know, I actually played the Rocky game on the Xbox, and there was one scene on the original. There was after you beat the game, you got to be the Philadelphia statue, the bronze statue, and fight as the statue. And it was like, boom, boom. I mean, you hit one person one time.
Best boxing game, though, after somebody had him in the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Loved it.
I loved Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Hey, you ever noticed about the Rocky movies? His wife got better looking each movie.
Yo, you look great.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Terrific. I mean, you could be a heartbreak. You walk down the street breaking hearts the way you're looking. Very sharp.
Did she? Talia Shire got hotter each time.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's in this new one. Because didn't one of them die? It was Burgess Meredith or something. One of the actors died.
But did you? And I was listening to an interview.
Wasn't it Apollo Creed, right?
I was listening to an interview with him the other day on one of the sports radio.
Right.
We're talking about the very
first Rocky movie.
Okay. Yeah, Stallone. And he was getting like paid $167 a day.
To do the Rocky movie?
He didn't get...
Mean the original Rocky movie. Oh, yeah, because he had written that. Yeah.
And then he did not get his first big check till like a year after. It was like $1 million. And it was for Rocky, but he says, you know, back then, if it was in the movie theaters, it stayed in there for
And then by the time
months.
He got up to Dolph Lundgren, he was probably making some bank at that point.
Did you also hear that he's putting out another Rambo?
Yeah, another Rambo, which is like...
Bro, let this don't give...
I guess it
this
won't be
generation
called,
does not need...
You think it'll be Rambo Second Blood Part 1 or something? Anyway, it all
Rambo
gets,
hits the sand?
It gets really confusing, and just when you think you've finally gotten that f***ing box set mastered, you got to go out and buy a new box set. You see, that's why I hate these box set things. You get like James Bond collection, but no, you don't have it because now there's a new James Bond. You know,
when's there going to be another Commando?
You know, I don't know, but I bet there'll be another Commando.
Because those were Rambo and Commando. They was always competing against each other.
Yeah, Commando was, of course, the Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Right, yeah.
Governator.
Great movie. Yeah, so, you know, we'll have to wait and see. And then the video game.
The chicken Commando was pretty hot.
It was good. You know, I actually saw Commando.
I like crinkly hair, too.
Well, speaking about sports games, Major League Baseball 07 premiering on the PS3, the PSP, and the PS2, which is not forgotten about, this spring. Electronic Arts has a complete control of the NFL license, which locks out any competition, but 2K Sports only negotiated the exclusive rights to the MLB third-party license, meaning Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo could still develop baseball games. Now, a clause Sony's continued to take advantage of. In the spring, they'll deliver MLB 07 for the PlayStation 3, the PSP, and the PS2 with a road to the show mode, allowing players to take rookie from a troubled beginning to a big league shot, leading the charge. Now, the series' online features have also been beefed up with online league play, allowing for up to 30 teams to be tracked statistics simultaneously. Now, My Sliders, on the other hand, allow players to create customized game settings, upload them to MLB 07 servers, and have others download them. MLB 07 will also incorporate additional pitching options via adaptive pitching intelligence, giving players a chance to shake off all catchers and trust their choices based on the batter tendencies and pitcher strengths. And pitch command system will also be integrated, which strategically offers options on predetermined pitches based on a calculated best to worst pitch scenarios the game determines. As per usual, look for MLB this spring. Sounds like a cool features coming in.
Well, yeah, and also sounds like it's not coming to the Xbox 360 anytime soon.
No, it doesn't, you know.
But I tell you what, 2K better really roll up their sleeves and put out a good baseball game, because if they don't, EA's going to take it right from them. Because really, 2K has put a lot of sucky baseball games out in the past, and probably because they are locked in on it and they don't have any competition. Well, you know how what EA does, sports game. Of course, you're going to have to buy every different color uniform, and you'll have like Hat Night where you have to pay to get
Well, one thing hat. I thought was interesting in this was the actual, you know, way that you can actually manipulate a game settings, features, and content, upload those, and somebody else can play a game of which you've already, you know, set up. So I think that's kind of neat. That's tweaking the game a little bit, you know, in case you want to do maybe a home run derby or something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
or even challenge, you know, certain pitchers to batter lineups.
Yep. Shows you how innovative people are that are outside the realm of 2K Sports.
Well, we just talked about movies to games, you know, crossing over and sequels coming in. Well, now Sega has also said that they're fixing to redevelop the Alien games. Pulling a genuine surprise out of their hat, Sega announced they've secured the rights to develop new video games based on the 20th Century Fox Alien series. The last we'd heard of Xenomorphs was Aliens vs. Predator 2 back in 2003, but Sega's targeting a first-person shooter and role-playing game for release on next-generation consoles. We don't know if the Wii is included in that, starting in 2009. Now, we're curious to see how Sega pulls an Alien RPG out of the studios, but at least it's genuinely a new take on the old license. Now, no other details have been made available in the announcement release, such as the potential for involvement of some of the actors, like Sigourney Weaver, to reprise her role as Ripley. But let's hope that this spring, in space, someone may hear us scream.
Go ahead and mark it right here. You can write it down. This game will suck.
Do you think so?
Yeah. And when are we going to get a game on the movie Dreamcatcher? I mean, how great would it be to play as Duddits?
You know, we had this conversation. These people probably don't even know what Dreamcatcher is.
Duddits. Hey, he saved our lives.
That's where Earl started this karma list. He was on that crapper, and he was like, it's coming. You remember that? Wasn't that him on the toilet in that Dreamcatcher movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I don't know. There may be a Dreamcatcher video game eventually soon.
Would you play it?
Well, you know, me and those five other people that bought the movie. Well, if you were one of those fans of Clerks 2, which recently came out on DVD, and I kind of gave it a, you know, middle-of-the-line review. I mean, I thought it was okay, but what did never top Clerks 1? The whole Star Wars and Clerks 1 had me. Anyways, I'm getting off on a rant, and Kevin Smith has been known to do that as well in his films. Yahoo Games discovered that the outspoken director would love someone to make a game starring his two characters, Jay and Silent Bob. He was quoted as saying, "I'm really not good enough to pull it off. Games is one field I'd like to be entertained rather than try to be entertaining. For years, people have been telling me to do a Jay and Bob video game. I'd be all for it, but I'm just not the guy to do it. I'd be happy to write the backstory for the game, but when it comes to what the levels are and the challenges and bosses and things like that, I'm not so good at coming up with that kind of stuff. It'd be nice for someone to come out with a Jay and Bob's video game. I mean, I'd play it in a heartbeat."
I think that if they did a game, they did it like a storyline Clark's, it'd be awful, but if they did it like a storyline like Dogma and make it a poof superhero slash kind of thing, that would be hilarious. It'd be freaking funny. I'd love to play it. What about you? What do you think on this? You're a big movie buff. Don't just stand there and look at me like the deer in headlights. Spit it out, hombre.
What? That was like my Silent Bob invitation. Wasn't that awesome?
Okay, I'm sitting there. What are you doing? I was like, okay.
Okay, and now, speaking about, you made a comment a minute ago about Viva Pinata, right?
Yeah, I did.
Well, hey, we got the people from Viva Pinata, from Rare Studios. Steve has an interview with them, so, you know, let's roll right into it.
Now you're Michael Johnson. What exactly do you do?
So I am the global product manager. My job is basically to manage each piece of information or each asset that is shared with customers so that they can form an opinion about the game and get excited about buying it.
You know, we got pinatas, we have an island, we have farming. How did that all get mixed in to make a game?
The game was developed by Genius over at Rare in the UK. I think we'll give the majority of the credit to Mr. Greg Males as the design lead. And basically the concept started as kind of a mobile game where it was a very small game where the idea was to have this living garden and to be able to share things with other people. The idea definitely took on new life as we moved it on to the console, and they came up with the idea of making the animals pinata. So what it became was much more about, obviously, the visual style of the pinata came with the power of Xbox 360. They were able to make this kind of paper effect on every one of the animal species. and the ability to use Xbox Live in a really unique way to trade anything in the world. So what you have now is this really, you know, vibrant world of living pinata animals, where your job is basically to take care of each of your species and give them their needs and make them happy.
Was Rare trying to focus this more along the lines of for kids, or were they still trying to keep it open for all ages?
With Xbox One, we were obviously highly successful with a very hardcore gamer. But if you really look at the portfolio of games for Xbox, you'll see that, you know, there weren't a lot of games. We weren't offering a lot of things for a more casual customer that just, you know, isn't necessarily into shooters and more hardcore games of the like. So with the effort behind Viva Pinata was born of that, of us wanting to reach out to more casual gamers and say, you know, we've got content for you guys too.
When you romance your pinatas, they go, you know, in their little house that you build for them, and they all have their own special dance.
When you're making your pinata happy and giving them what they need, you want to be able to populate your world with new pinata. So there were two ways of doing that. One way is to attract pinata from the wild roaming outside of your world, and the other is to have people make new pinatas. So with making new pinata, it was clear that some kind of procreation needed to take place, but we wanted this to be a game for everyone. We didn't want this to be something that was a scandalous concept. So the idea of procreation from Rare came through this kind of really, really, you know, G-rated version of what romancing would be about, and that is a dance.
It's Hamilton!
Oh! Yes! 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 Yes!
So each one of the species has their own dance that's appropriate for the type of animal that they are. So, you know, they started out with the worms doing the worm, like a break dance, the bunnies doing the bunny hop, the foxes doing the foxtrot, that sort of idea. And then it evolved into these really, really funny and sometimes almost kind of disturbing little dances that they're basically rewards, that because as you play the game, you know, the very early species, it's very easy to make them happy, give them what they want, and introduce them such that they will make a new baby. But as you get further and further into the game, the needs of the pinata get more and more complex, and that's part of the depth of the game. So when you get that romance dance video, as you get later and later into the game, it really is a reward for figuring out everything that individual species needed and successfully romancing.
I'll have what she's having.
You know, you work at Microsoft. You're not actually working for Rare. But, you know, Rare's given us Cameo. They've given us Perfect Dark Zero, Viva Pinata now. Do you know any future projects they have, like Banjo-Kazooie that they have coming out, or any other maybe future kid games as well?
Yeah, I'm working with Rare on all their titles. So, yeah, we've announced that there's going to be a new title in the Banjo franchise, and we're not saying too much about it right now because it's really particularly exciting. It's really different than everything else you've been seeing out there. And because of that, we want to come out with the details when we have some really, really good assets to share that exemplify exactly what the innovative gameplay is going to be like.
All right, well, thanks a lot for being on our show.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Don't miss the all-new series Viva Pinata every Saturday morning on 4Kids TV on Fox.
Well, we sure do appreciate all the work that Steve does in getting these interviews lined up and taking care of them. That's great. Thank you for that, Steve. 519, Mr. 519 himself. Not only do we have that interview for you, Guijie's kids stopped by to talk to Carpool about the game and giving you their take on it.
Yeah, so stick around right after the commercial break. We're coming right back with the kids' picks, Viva Pinata, followed by many more reviews and the Marketplace Minute.
Rated E for everyone.
You've always wondered who's behind the mask. The answer is you. When hunger strikes, it's up to you to strike back. Hide. Creep. Sneak. Sneak King. $3.99. Only at Burger King.
Only one DVD promises you this much sex.
I don't want to come between you. Or do I?
Violence.
Victory is mine!
Nudity. Sex.
Oh,
my God, please tell me we didn't do it.
Humor.
Crying baby, I'll take him out. And sex.
Well, hello, Mr. Walter Jett.
Giggity giggity. Giggity goo.
Was a fart.
Kevin cried.
That's more disgusting than when Peter went through that Daisy Dukes phase.
Who's up for some hoops at the park?
Oh! Own Family Guy on DVD.
What the deuce?
Family Guy.
Oh, that's right. I went there.
All right, it's time for kids' picks. Now, usually on this part of the show, we either get my kids over here, Alexander or Cameron, they tell you, you know, a game that might be more, you know, predisposed for the younger gamers out there. However, this week, we thought we'd try something a little bit different since Guijay is part of the panel now. And as you know, Guijay's a father. We're going to invite Guijay's son over here. Welcome aboard. And your name is?
My name is Joey.
Fantastic. Now, we brought you over here because we know that you're an avid Viva Pinata fan. Just want to ask you, Joey, how do you like Viva Pinata?
Yes, it's best game ever.
Sounds smashing. You get that because that's a pinata thing.
Yes.
Well, tell us, what's the game about?
See, there's like this level. You have to build your first garden. Then you like have your like own like garden. And then you can like do whatever you want. There's like this girl who likes help you out. She'll give you like some stuff.
So what does she give you?
She gives you like shovels. And, like, some grass stuff you just, like, make it in. And then you just, like, get a lot more stuff. You can, like, get achievements.
Okay, so why do you want to build a garden?
So then all the animals can come in.
Well, in this garden, what kind of animals do you expect, pinata animals, do you expect to come into your garden?
Butterflies and, and tons more.
Cool. So let me ask you a question. What are the hearts in the game for?
When they have hearts on, when they have like no hearts, and she was like, do they have hearts? And that means you press A on one time, and then you go to the next one, and then press A, and then they're in love. Then they do the love dance.
Well, cool, Joey. So as you're building your Viva Pinata garden and stuff, you know, where do the animals live in the game?
You can like have. There's like this little tube thing, you so the animals can like live in it.
So all these pinatas in your garden, if you were to neglect the pinatas, what would happen?
Actually, what they do, they actually like have these like, you have like this menu, like it'll show you what stuff you need.
Well, you know, typically on all of our games, we give them a score between a 1 to a 10. Joey? What kind of gamer score would you give Viva Pinata?
Actually, I would give that a 100.
Wow, 100? Well, I guess Guijay must be teaching you math as well as gaming, you know, because there's only like 10 gamers. Never mind, you'll learn that later. Well, anyways, you know, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for doing Kids Picks. You want any final words?
It's the best game ever. Have a great day, and do your best in that game.
The best game ever. Well, Steve519 would agree with you there, Joey. Thanks for coming on. And now back to more XBL Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Joey, for that interview. I think you did a splendid job. And speaking of Viva Pinata, if you would like to win a copy of Viva Pinata, then just go over to XBL Radio forums and put in your answer to the question I'm about to give you.
Well, what question are you about to give us?
What is the rating that Joey gave Viva Pinata?
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty interesting. That's so it shows that you have to be paying attention and actually interested in the game.
Yes, and then if you go over there, then we'll do a lottery, and whoever gets all the right answers, out of all the right answers, we'll just pull out of the hat.
And in case you skip the kids' picks, I'll give you a hint on the rating.
It's best game ever.
July 21st, 1861 is a beautiful day for the first major battle of the war.
Yes, that's right. It is the History Channel Civil War from Activision. Now, this is a historic first-person shooter, and it is for the Xbox 360 is what we played it on. It only supports one player, and, you know, it does have some achievements. And so let's get right into it. Tell us a little bit about the setting of this game.
Well, this game takes place back in the day when the Civil War was around. And
so the North versus South type scenario.
Yeah. Yankees and rebels.
Okay.
At it again.
All right. So cool. So it's based on a historic premise of the North and South Civil War. Okay. Now let's talk about graphics. How are the graphics in this game?
Original Sony had better graphics.
Okay.
The Sony PlayStation, the original Sony PlayStation.
Was there anything that let you down? Because for me, when I played it, I thought the character modeling was pretty lackluster. It seemed like it was all...
The leaves were flat. The trees were flat.
The fences.
The fences. Everything was flat in this game.
It was...
The audio was bad. So
it didn't live up to Xbox 360 graphical standards.
It lived up to no console standards.
Okay, fair enough. Well, what about the sound in this game?
Sound was terrible. There was really no good audio in the sound. There were several times in this game where I am running through water and I am running through puddles and it's just clunk, 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 clunk. You don't never hear any ambiance of splashing through water.
Well, if you have your notifications turned on the 360 control panel, the achievement sounds pretty cool. Well, overall gameplay, let's go through pros and cons of this game real quick since there's not much more detail to go over in this
pros
game.
Pros and cons.
What are your pros? And I'll tell you mine.
The pros of this game. Oh, the achievements. They're very easy to get, and you really deserve them if you stick in and play this game. For instance, there was an achievement I got for killing somebody with my knife. Not my sword, my knife. It's like a little hunting knife. You only get it as a southerner. You have to kill 100 people with that knife, and you get an achievement. I played one level and killed everybody who all had guns with that one knife.
Right on. So you went Rambo on them and succeeded.
It just shows you how easy it is to do it because it's really... You know, it's really hard to die.
Okay, and for me, I guess about the only pro to this game is if you are like a big-time Civil War buff and, you have a 360 and it's more or less not for you, it's for your kids or something, but you're a big Civil War, go ahead, rent it. I mean, you may say, oh, yeah, the uniforms look close to what they used to wear. That's about it. I mean, as far as, being, a great game, no. But for nostalgia and just to look at it and say, okay, this is kind of cheesy. So let's look at the cons. I'll let you start first since you had more trouble with this game than I did. What do you think the problems were with this game?
The problems were with this game, I think that Activision got a group of their people that are on probation that got in trouble for something and sent them down to the cellar to make a game just to keep them out of their hair while they work on something bigger and better.
Harsh, bro. Harsh. But, spoken truly. With me, I think the actual pitfall of this game was the fact that it really was almost like, hey, we got the History Channel. If you put the History Channel name on it, put first-person shooter, we'll have people who, actually get educated while slaughtering people. And I think it was a misfire. If you're going to make a game tied to a channel that's noted for trying to teach intelligence to people to learn their past, this is not a good stepping stone to do that. All right, well, let's wrap it up. What are you rating this game on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give this game a 2 because the cover was pretty.
Okay. Wow. That's probably the lowest we've ever given a game. Okay, for me, I'm going to give this game a 5. But I would go on record as saying, I do not say do not rent this game. Do not buy this game. Try to stay away from it. It's really not worth it at all. But if you're a diehard History Channel fan, then why not? Play it and say at least you played it.
Or if you're like me and you love achievement points and you do want to get achievement points in a one sitting time frame, then do rent this game.
So you're saying Strip Club DJ would definitely get this game.
Yeah, most definitely, because you can... mute it, turn the volume up, and get your achievements.
Keep going, man! Follow me!
What's happening, XBL radio listeners? Once again, it's GuiJ, your main man with the Marketplace Minute, where I'm going to go ahead and go through the Xbox Live Marketplace and tell you what's the cream of the crop and tell you what's also the cream of the crap. As our special holiday presentation, I've got a special guest with me today. Me and Rusty are going to go ahead and give you guys a scoop on the Marketplace Minute. We're going to start off with the games and media trailers. First thing we have that had come up within the past 2 weeks is the Halo 3 Holiday Teaser Trailer. This is the TV spot that ran during ESPN's Monday Night Football on December 4th. If you haven't downloaded this by now, you're obviously living in the middle of the desert. If you're interested to know a little bit more about the trailer itself, go ahead and check out the last roundtable, the last 0.5 episode, and you'll see we went in depth with it, and we had quite a lengthy conversation. Wouldn't you agree, Rusty?
Right, 32.5. It was a great conversation. I'm glad we threw that topic out there. The main, we were comparing it to the Gears of War trailer. Next, the Aragon making of the video trailer. It's got behind the scenes... it's a behind-the-scenes look at the Aragon video game. And you should download this one. The reason why I recommend this one is because it also includes a code to enter to win an HDTV and Xbox Live Gold membership. Next up is the Splinter Cell Double Agent Strategy Guide.
There's actually two of them. There's one for the Shanghai Hotels level and the for the Ice Flow level. And they're kind of like the Gears of War Strategy Guide videos that went up. And like I said, there are 100 points. We also have a Battle Stations Midway trailer for the game Battle Stations Midway. It's a World War II vehicular combat simulator. You can fly in warships, submarines, airplanes. I've seen the trailer, and it's okay. You're not going to miss too much if you don't check this out, XBL Radio listeners.
Next up, we got the Lost Planet Theater trailer. It's a 60-second ad that will be played in theaters when you go watch your movies. It's free, and I got to watch it. It was pretty cool.
And the next trailer is actually my pick for the month, and it's the Mass Effect demo. It's a complete walkthrough of the X06 demo, and it really shows you some of the gameplay, and it shows you some of the beautiful worlds and some of the interfaces in the game. This is really, I've been one of my top five picks for next year. So if you haven't done it right now, it should be on the top of your list. Up next is a Red vs. Blue holiday video. It's a holiday themed video by the creators of Red vs. Blue. And it's, for those of you that don't know, it's a video that's done using the Halo 2 engine. And they kind of just place the guides where they need to place them. They add the audio in, and it's usually very comical. Go ahead and download that for a quick laugh for the holidays.
Moving on from videos, we now have themes and picture packs. First one on the list, speaking of Red versus Blue, we got a Red versus Blue theme. It goes for 150 points.
Then along the lines of picture pack, we have a Viva Piñata.
It's the best game ever.
There are two different picture packs. Of course, the Sweet picture pack contains five pictures of course, sweet piñatas. And then you obviously put two and two together and know that the Sour pack has five sour piñatas. That's going to run you about 80 marketplace points.
Next up, we got Cabela's African Safari. And so, unless you're Mr. Carpal Tunnel, I don't think anyone will be downloading these.
Next on the theme and picture pack area, we have Assault Heroes, which is the new Xbox Live Arcade title this week. Anyway, the picture pack is going to run you 80 points, and there's also an Assault Heroes theme that'll run you 150 points.
As you all know, last week on Wednesday, we got a new Xbox Live Arcade Wednesday title, and it was Assault Heroes. This game runs for 800 Microsoft points, which of course is $10 US. It's available in all Xbox Live regions, so you can do multiplayer across the world. Single player, Xbox Live multiplayer, 1 to 2 players, even 1 to 2 players offline as well, which I thought was cool because I got to play with my son-in-law, 12-year-old. Very cool. It's got 5.1 surround sound and high definition.
Now, can we talk about this game for a second really quick, Rusty? Because we were talking with Carpal and the other guy about this game, and he was tearing this game apart. He says it was not worth $10. I'll tell you, man, I had to completely disagree. We were playing some multiplayer last night, and this game has all the old school elements that I long for in an arcade title, and it looks beautiful.
There you go. I totally agree, man. It's got that real simple pick-up-and-play gameplay, and then the classic just action all across the screen. You guys are moving around. Real simple to play, but at the same time, it does look quite lovely.
Right. Well, he says this is a game you're going to play for a week or so, and then you're going to throw it away, and I completely have to disagree. I think out of all the arcade games that I own up to this point, this might be the game that I want to go back to just for some simple shooting action with a buddy. And, you know, me and you, still to this day, we're doing Contra. You know what I mean? We like playing it. It's that co-op, straight-up Rambo, me against the world, ain't nobody gonna stop us now, shimmy shimmy y'all, shimmy yam, shimmy yay.
I agree.
All right, let's move on to the next Xbox Arcade title, which came out the week before that, which is Robo Blitz. And that's a hefty 1,200 marketplace points.
That's $15. Very interesting for a single-player game.
Right.
But apparently, it's got some amazing graphics running on the Unreal Engine.
Right. It's also got some really, really decent physics from what I hear. But, Rusty, that's a lot, man. $15 for... You could go out and get a used 360 game for $15 about now, you know? So
perhaps.
I don't know.
But you own Cameo. What would you say is better, Cameo or Roboblitz?
I liked Cameo.
Cameo.
Cameo, Cameo, Camaleo, whatever you say, but I enjoyed it. Speaking of buying used games, we got a beautiful update the other week, a backwards compatibility update, which now is going to bring all our titles, our old Xbox titles, to 300 games that we can go ahead and plug in and play, reminisce a little bit from some old school Xbox. Why don't you tell them, Rusty, tell them some of the highlight games that we have now able to play on our 360.
Shenmue 2, Scarface, Psychonauts. Far Cry Instinct.
Soul Calibur, man. So, you didn't mention Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur 2.
Yeah.
That's weird how it's in North America only.
So, moving on now to our music videos and new movies for the marketplace, we have a special 2-pack Jack Black action Knick Knack Paddywhack Don't Come Back with the artist of the month, and that is Tenacious D with the Pick of Destiny video. It's free. And it's the D. What more do you need? Go download it now.
What would be more better to compliment the Tenacious D video then?
Okay. You ready? You messed with the wrong guy this time. You ever see these moves? Huh? You see this move?
Nacho Libre, baby. Have you seen this movie yet, Rusty?
You know what? I sure haven't.
Oh, man, you gotta go check it out. A brief synopsis just for the XBL radio fans that haven't seen it. It's about a monk in a Mexican monastery, and he's kind of the chump of the monastery, and his whole soul life's purpose is to just cook food day in and day out for the orphans. The only problem is that the orphanage in the monastery, they make no money. So he's cooking crappy food for the people, you know, and they have to eat it, and he feels super duper bad. And secretly in the back of his heart, he wants to be a luchador, which is the Spanish wrestlers. And so he sees a little sign and says, man, if I can be a wrestler and make some money, then I can, you know, help these kids, these orphans, and maybe I can be able to make good food for them. And of course, in the vein of Napoleon Dynamite, the comedy ensues.
I am singing at the party.
All right, everyone, and that should do it for us. I am Rusty Ranchero.
Have a happy holidays from Guijay, and we're out of here. See ya.
Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Ramses is the one. He puts the people all on fire.
Now here from XBL Radio, straight from the Skypeosphere, is a guy named Strip Club DJ, who has the highest gamer score in the Xbox Live community. Won't you welcome Strip Club DJ?
What's going on, everybody?
Welcome.
Nice
Ranger
to have you here.
Yeah, we brought the whole crew to, you know, all three of our gamer scores combined won't even match what you get in like a day. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, I have to vouch. I am the highest. I do have the highest gamer score out of the XBL Radio crew.
He does, but there again, he also represents a pinata.
It's like only almost barely over a tenth of what yours is. So, it's not awesome.
So tell us, man, what's the story? You're really obviously into gaming. And you take it very seriously. But the reason I want to get you on here, we just did a story about you. You were posted on one of the blogs, and I thought it was very interesting how you had such a massive score. Wanted to talk to you about some of the negative feedback you're getting on the score, yeah, and some of the positive. What's going on with it?
Well, I believe the whole world is just a jealous thing itself. I believe that there are so many, I would say, adults and children out there that just are just jealous of gamer score, or they can't buy a new game, and they just take it off on me. I mean, I've probably received 2,000 messages in the last probably week's time of, you know, good messages, a lot of good messages, but a lot of hate messages. And when I say hate, I mean, it's not just like, oh, you're an idiot or you have no life. I mean, I've got where Xbox Live should just blank out that word. Yeah, that's exactly what I've been called about a million times.
Well, what are most of the accusations? What are they saying that you're doing so wrong?
Accusations consist of more than one person playing my Xbox, game saving, account swapping. That's pretty much in a nutshell. Everybody thinks if you have a high gamer score, you're a cheater.
So and are any of those true?
Accusations, I will tell you that there's a small percentage that... Some of them are true. That's a God's honest truth, and I've told this story a few times in forums of the fact of if anybody does any research, that I've been in the top five. I got my Xbox December 18th of this year, so it's only, I haven't even had my Xbox a year yet, and I've been in the top five since January 20th or whatever. That's when I found mygamercard.net and got myself on the leaderboard. So I've been in the top 10 and the top five for at least 10 to 11 months. Well, for a good portion of it is, I imagine everyone that's worked Xbox or everyone out there knows what a game save is. Myself, yes, I've used them. Have I used a lot of them? No, I haven't. And the reason that I have used them is for the pure fact of me and about 10 of us that were in the top, excluding ST the King because he went off to college or he quit for whatever reasons, that we weren't going to get our spots taken away from cheaters. So it's sad that a person as myself, I'm not going to, relay any other names out there, stoop to lows where, excluding the fact of, all right, cool, I don't want to play this game, or I'll play this game for you and you play this game for me. There's been a lot of that, and I believe it's a big problem. After the November update, they fixed it all, so it can't be done. It can't be done anymore, and that's a positive note. That's it.
So moving on to more personal stuff, if you don't mind, because you say a lot of people diss you, and you say they don't even know who you are. Do you mind sharing, telling us who you are?
My name is Gary Dudley. I'm 6'3". I weigh 270 pounds. I'm overweight because I'm 34 years old, but I'm not overweight like I'm some lard ass sitting on a lazy boy drinking caffeine sodas every day. I drink mineral water. My nickname is Lumpy. It's a nickname that I caught a long time ago when I used to be an amateur boxer. And if anybody is a UFC fan, anybody out there, if anyone knows who Dan the Beast Severn is, that's the last person I beat up in King of the Cage.
I'm glad I didn't talk a lot of shit about you whenever I did the story. Let's talk logistics here. How long, on average, do you spend gaming per day?
It depends. Recently, I've been getting really tired. I mean, right now I'm content with my score, and I've been playing a lot of Gears of War. But on average, I probably put in 8 hours a day. And the work week that I have, I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights from 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. So I usually wake up a little early, maybe crank out some video, some whatever get going on. And then when I come home, it's hard for me to unwind and go to bed. So automatically I pick up the controller and I start playing games.
So I guess you're really a big fan of the achievement system on Xbox Live, right?
Yes. You know what? I am a real big fan. I think it was probably one of the smartest things they could have done. Even though they throw, a great product out, that right there stole the whole entire world. Gamer achievement points stole the whole entire world because instantly people are buying more games, crappier games they're going to buy. Everyone's going to go out and buy Rumble Roses because it was crap, So I think achievement points are great. I think I'm an addict. That's what's sad. It's like alcoholism or, a drug addict. I swear right. that achievement points are that bad to me.
So what do you expect to get out of this? I mean, here you are. You're sitting on top of the heap. I mean, you're one of the, people that, as far as gamer score goes, people look at your gamer score and just, I'm sure you go into rooms and they're like, damn. What are you getting out of it? I mean, what's your ultimate goal? To get recognition?
No, not at all. I'm a gamer just like you. I just have spent more time in front of my TV than everyone else. I expect nothing from nobody, nothing from Microsoft, nothing from... I just love video games.
So you'll go on record as saying only 2,000 points that you cheated.
I would have to say around... I would probably say two... I would, if it had to go any farther, it would probably be 2 to 3.
So what is the what is your nemesis achievement, the one that got away, the one you couldn't do, the one that you just gave up on?
One that I gave up on would have to be PGR... tourney qualifier. I believe somebody knows some sort of a wall slam glitch that beats all the times in America. Even though the times are, not that hard, you get close to them and it seems like you're like really close, but you're pretty much a mile away from it. It's just, I don't know. I'm just not the professional PGR guy that I thought I was when I beat platinum. I thought I could do it.
I'm a big Geometry Wars fan, so Just simple question, man. What's your Geometry Wars high score?
My Geometry Wars high score, it would say on there, would probably be 500-some-odd thousand. Offline, it's like 1.3, I think it was. And once again, that wasn't me. I'm not like Carnage at all. Carnage is the king.
Well, to our listeners out there who are listening to the Mac Daddy of GamerScore talk about it, tell our listeners, if they were going to want to jump their GamerScore up there by a couple thou, what would you suggest? How would they do it?
If you wanted to jump up your GamerScore a couple thousand, I would start, if you want to go an easy route, it would be old sports games. Old sports games are easy, excluding Tiger Woods. Half the game is glitch, and EA needs to do something about their glitches. Games open season, Cars is easy, Civil War is a new game. It's a really fun game. And when I want to get my gamer score up, I listen to Useless Tips on XBL Radio.
On XBL Radio, we don't like it if you cheat. So here's our useless tip of the week.
And now we've come to the part of the show where we give you a useless tip to help you out with those games that we review. Hey, other guy, you got anything useless for History Channel Civil War?
No, but I do have something useful for everybody out there. If you do live close to Carpal, and he has the password to get into your house, make sure you hide your Xbox and underwear because they will both come up missing.
I did not take your underwear. I'm sorry, I thought they were your wives.
Well, I enjoyed that interview. It was a good interview. Thank you for sitting down with us here at XBL Radio.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed having him on the show.
You know, my take on this is if what you're going for is achievements, go for it. I know there are some people that are trashing the guy. Oh, you're cheating. I think they're just jealous because he's actually got more than them. I don't care if you're getting your friends to help you get your achievements, because the main thing, Microsoft wants you to go after these achievements, and why not strive? Everybody wants there's a lot of people out there that want to just show that they played the game. They don't care about getting the achievements. So you look at their log, they played 400 games. What they do.
Yeah, but I feel the same way. And you know, I'm with you on that fact 100%. You know, like how they have Olympic teams, like the Dream Team. If he got like seven of his friends and they all signed in under the same account and they all did it, well, they're the Dream Team. They're getting, if that's what their goal is, then, you know, let them do it.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is if they did figure out a way to actually mod inside it and get it. And
I
think Microsoft.
I don't even care about
that. Do you
not?
Yeah, me neither.
Because if he did it by himself, or if he had someone help him do it, or if he found a way to cheat, I don't care, because then that make me like a hypocrite, because I used a cheat code to finish Far Cry. I've used cheat codes before to help me get through certain situations, or to give me unlimited ammo and stuff of that nature. So it don't bother me at all, not one bit.
Yeah, I can understand you, and I've never used a cheat code on anything. But if I did, I could see where you're coming from.
You've never used a cheat code.
Okay, let's move on to another subject. We were talking to him about some of the most hardest games that he has ever played to get achievements on, and we put a poll question up last week over at xblradio.com asking people, was there just an achievement where you just said, you know, I can't get this achievement? You want to go over some of the feedback on some of this?
Yeah, we'll go right into it. So
okay.
Let me pull up the forums real quick.
Okay, so let's get into the gist of this. What did Racing Freak have to say?
Playing 25 online games in PBR. And if you don't know what PBR, that is Project
Botham Racing?
PBR.
Okay, go ahead.
Is Project Botham Racing. Evidently, Racing Freak cannot spell, which he likes to point out to everybody else. It's actually PGR. He said this game was hard to get the achievement because you always lose connectivity and people quit in the middle of the race.
Yeah, so I can understand with you. And the Smoking Man, he had a comment on here. He said, I'm inclined to say anything out of Perfect Dark Zero, because that required you to actually play the game. The one individual achievement, however, that comes to mind is Smash TV's Game Master, where you have to actually finish the game without continuing on the default settings. Yeah, that does sound hard, Smoking Man.
Bedazzler says, I think one of the hardest achievements that I am more proud of is getting the Black Pearl. I've done the White Pearl, but I've never done the Black Pearl. Sounds interesting.
In Hexic HD, yeah.
Oh,
you know,
okay. My bad. You're talking about the game. Okay,
yeah,
never mind.
This isn't Squad XP. Go ahead, read the rest.
I guess because it was one of the first games I played, and the puzzle aspect let me really think about the strategy rather than the fast-paced games where it's cool when you just pop up and have an achievement.
And then we had another comment from Nocebo X, who's a frequent guy over at XBLRadio.com, really great guy. He says, for me, it would be getting the Grizzled Veteran Badge in Call of Duty 3. Oh, man, that was frustrating. So glad to get it in the end. And he's talking about the game.
There was one part of that level where you had to keep the fields clean. You're on top of a tower that was very, very difficult.
Yeah, but this is basically their problems with the games. Enough about you.
Yeah.
Go on. What did Mick have to say?
Well, evidently, Mick is on your case again, because he says that you have still not got the achievement for spelling.
I know. He says I'm 0 for 6.
It's a call for 0% for spell achievement.
Yeah, yeah. But you're 10 for 10 in the asshole one.
Yes. Now, what would you say the most difficult achievement for you was?
I actually posted on this, and I said that it was Geometry Wars 1 million. Now, I never got the achievement, so I guess that would be my most difficult, surviving 1 million without dying. I never can get to that plateau. But I can never get with one life a million. It's just incredibly hard. How about you?
It would have to be 2K Sports Baseball.
Grabbing that thing.
The home run achievements. I got that one, but it was very difficult. The one that I have not been able to achieve is actually running up the wall and grabbing the baseball out of the air.
Yeah, it's amazingly hard. But, you know, I mean, the achievements are there for a reason. And, you know, I mean, they get you to play the game, and I think they're doing their job. Good job, Microsoft, in making the achievements part of the 360 gaming arena. Well, wow, it has been an awesome show this week. I mean, we had just a lot going on. So, I mean, we haven't, you know, really, we don't have a lot more time to dabble and stuff. This has been the XBL Radio Podcast, version 33.0. Be sure and go over to our website, which is xblradio.com, and which we're renaming it the stevevideominute.com. And be sure to check that out. It's kind of cool. Steve's got a lot of video footage on there. It's a lot of fun, you know, and all that.
Thank you for the beer can video.
Yeah, for the beer can video. It's actually cool. And the next thing, he wants a loincloth. He said, you ain't got the balls to do a loincloth. Anyways, I am Mr. Carpal Tunnel, and I have had a blast bringing you the XBL Radio Podcast. Keep gaming. Happy holidays, everyone, and I am out of here.
This is The Other Guy, and I will catch you back on the flip side. Peace out.
This has been a production of XBL Radio.
Your game, your voice, your radio.
Major Nelson, a.k.a. Larry Herb.
Thank you for having me.
I saw you online.
You guys really have made my success, so I owe everything to folks like yourself.
Gamer score 25.
Hi, this is Luke. Oh, wait, no, okay.
The boys from Cinecast.
This is Adam, yeah, we're in. Sam.
Hi, guys.
Kev Skill.
Thank you for having me back.
Hey, this is Pitcher.
I am Rusty Ranchero.
Are we talking gaming?
A gaming show.
The Rebel.
I was going to say no, I still interfered, but I can't say that anymore, so.
She must like gaming.
Hey, going good.
Gamer
score 25. How big is it?
It's about the size of a Walkman.
I'm just going to start my own thing.
And now for something completely different.
This is going out to Indians everywhere. It's a tribute to one of the greats, Mr. Adam Sandler.
Diwali is a festival of lights. Let me tell you something. Tonight has been one crazy night. So put on your saris. It's time to celebrate Diwali. Everybody looks so jolly, but it's not Christmas, it's Diwali. The goddess of destruction, Kali, stopped by to celebrate Diwali. Don't invite any zombies to a celebration of Diwali. Along came Pali to have some fun at Diwali. If you're Indian and you love to party, have a happy, 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 happy Diwali. Happy Diwali!
Ding, fries it done, ding, fries it done, ding, fries it done, ding, fries it done. I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run. I work at Burger King making flamethrower whoppers. I wear paper hats. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Ding, fries it done, ding, fries it done, ding, fries it done, ding, fries it done. I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run, I gotta run. Don't touch the fries in hot fat. It really hurts bad, and so do skin grafts. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Wait for the bell. Can't hear the bell. Where is the bell? Wait for the bell. Ding, fries it done. Ding Fresh Again.